originally we were trying to develop a 3D organoids, intentional organoids model to quantify the intentional functions for the companies, because they try to test their product in vitro, not in vivo, because the in vivo is costly, and the in vitro model is good for testing the intentional functions such as barrier functions. However, we try to make the in vitro model more precisely or more accurately, because with the 3D structure of the organoid, they have all types of intestinal epithelium in that model.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Kemin invites you to optimize animal feed quality and safety with our portfolio of solutions. Learn more at kemin.com/ag. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. Now, you see it. Intelligent feed management from BinCentury.
Welcome, everybody, to the Feed Science Podcast brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Carlos Campabadal from Kansas State University, dedicated to bring you the latest insights and discussions here in the feed science for the feed science industry. Please get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead with today's episode. So today I have the pleasure to be the host of Dr. Lian N. Yu, who is a postdoctoral fellow at the Academia Sinica in Taiwan. Dr. Lian N. Yu, welcome to the Feed Science Podcast. Just to start off, if you could just please tell us a little bit about yourself, or the audience can learn a little bit about you.
Thank you very much. So my research is focused on the prenatal nutrition in the poultry science. So basically, the commercial broilers are really growing fast nowadays. As you know, usually reach market weight within 6 weeks with the optimized feed formula, but they still need around 21 days before they hatch. So in this case, the embryonic stage is responsible for a third of their lifespan. Meanwhile, organs such as intestine and muscle, are intensively developed during embryogenesis, which rely on limited nutrients present in the eggs. So the aim of my research is to develop efficiency feed formula or feed supplement to the broiler's embryo, or like a poultry embryos.
Great. No, this is great information, and I'm pretty sure our audience will be very excited to learn all about this work that you have been doing. So just to get them a little bit there set up, how long you've been working on this type of research?
Well, it started when I was a PhD student in University of Delaware, United States, and it's around 5 years. We start with simple nutrients, glutamine, and right now, currently, I'm working on the phytogenic, the bioactive compound derived from the plants or herbs, and to make a supplemental for the embryos.
Great, perfect. So as I understand, Dan, you started this when you were a PhD student there at the University of Delaware. So just to get this, tell us a little bit how you got into this type of research. Was that a project that came, that was there, University of Delaware, something, and maybe tell us a little bit also about your master's degree overall, so then our audience can understand how you ended up then doing this great work.
Yeah, originally we were trying to develop a 3D organoids, intentional organoids model, to quantify the intentional functions for the companies, because they try to test their product in vitro, not in vivo, because the in vivo is costly, and the in vitro model is good for testing the intestinal functions, such as barrier functions. However, we try to make the in vitro model more precisely or more accurately, because with the 3D structure of the organoid, they have all types of intestinal epithelium in that model, which they will have the cell-cell connections and the interaction between the different type of cells, which have the more representative data to help them develop their product. So we try to isolate the stem cells from the intestine of the broilers. And the most active stem cell is in the embryo stage. So we isolate the 3D organoids in the embryos, and we develop a way to quantify the intestinal functions, which I think is the novel tools for study the intestinal function. For example, the stem cells activities such as proliferation, differentiation, and nutrient absorption, like glucose uptake, or the anti-inflammation, anti-oxidation, and also the barrier functions with the FD4 assays. So with this knowledge, we develop a model, and I think we can test the embryonic intestinal functions. Then why not we have some like in oval injections or in oval feeding to the embryos and see how it goes. And surprisingly, in 2024, we published a work that only one shot of glutamine dramatically enhanced intestinal development, especially increased about 45% in intestinal length. In this study, we utilized enteroid culture to quantify the intestinal function, as I mentioned, in embryos. So, and they are all significantly increased. So that's why I jump into the prenatal nutrition or prenatal supplementations to the embryos.
No, this is great. And of course, for our audience, please give us a like. We always appreciate the thumbs up there if you like this podcast today. So, Dr. Lian, and you, Dr. Yu, as we continue to explain a little bit your great research work and which is on prenatal nutrition, I know that you won the 2025 Milton L. Sundy Award from the American Society for Nutrition. Is that related to this work? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's an award for the Journal of Nutrition. So the Journal of Nutrition is held by the American Society of Nutrition, and they have annually give this award to the journal, to the paper that published on their journals, which is excellent in poultry science nutrition. So we received this award by publishing the work I just mentioned, the one shot of glutamine.
Great. So then you, this award, you were already here, work, you were there already in being on the postdoctoral fellow in Taiwan, correct? Where you have been continuing your work after your PhD.
No, when I received that award, I already came back to Taiwan and do the postdoc in academia clinica.
Perfect. That's great that you were able to do that work over there. And as we work a little bit about that, I know let's connect a little bit. As you said, you were talking about in vitro tests in vivo, a little bit more expensive, of course. So let's look a little bit how to apply the embryonic supplementation in the industry. So our audience can gather a little bit. We have both, of course, audience from the industry all over the world here in this podcast, and of course also scientists from all over the world, and of course students. So let's give them an idea of how to apply this embryonic supplementation to the industry.
Yeah, to perform the in ovo injection in industrial, automatically machine is needed. So the automatically in ovo vaccination machine has been used in different companies, such as Pruma Genetics, a company in Brazil, or other industry in the United States. So it's kind of a mature technique to in ovo inject the vaccine to help the chickens. And with similar concept, the in ovo feeding is achievable because they have the technique. However, the in ovo feeding is not widely used. Main reasons include the unknown of the cost effective, because you need a lot of evidence to suggest that it's cost effective, so they will invest the machine or the procedure. And the biosafety issue and variations between the experiments, which might not be able to convince people performing the in ovo feeding nowadays. However, I believe in the future with more with rising evidence and more formula or more complex nutrients or supplements in the product will give a really huge profit for the customer. So the cost effective concern will be disseminated. So I believe that's the future trend to perform the in ovo feeding.
That's great. And of course, for our audience, please, if you have any questions for Dr. Yu, please put it there in our comment section, and we'll be sure to get it to him and then the future when the episode, with this episode. So as we continue talking a little bit about this, can you go more, a little bit more in detail? What are some of the benefits of embryonic supplementation so our audience can get a little bit of a grasp and understand what are the benefits? I mean, we talk a little bit about how to apply them in the industry, but why they should do it, you know, what will they gain out of it? So I think that will be something very important for them to understand.
Yeah, I talk a lot of the gut health to improve the intestinal development earlier. And this year, we actually isolated phytogenetic, the biotic compounds from the herbs, from two types of traditional Chinese herb. So since the phytogenetics have shown benefit on promoting both intestinal and muscular development in our previous studies, we thought it might be able to increase both aspects, the muscle and intensity in boreal embryo. And in the result, we found it worked well. The development of muscle and intensity dramatically enhanced compared to a control group. And we published this work in this year's Poultry Science Association Pacific Ring Scientific Conference. And although we did not quantify other organs, the results suggest the possibility of promoting multiple organs development, not only muscle, not only intestine, but all the organs with one shot of supplement. So it's achievable. Therefore, the formula or ideal supplement for poultry embryo to grow into different categorizes, such as fast grow or more insensitive to the disease, is likely to exist, but not yet being revealed.
Perfect. And then, of course, our audience, please share the video if you learned something new today. I'm pretty sure you are, because this is something not that common that you hear every day on the on science. So you were telling us a little bit about the benefits, you know, overall, how it was how to implement an industry. This is a curious question that I have. Have you guys run the numbers in terms of let me ask you in a different way. Is any of this work will impact the feed intake? You know, muscles are growing, organs are growing. Will it increase the feed consumption, or you will gain more weight without increasing weight, feed consumption? And then where I was going to was, if there's an economical numbers that maybe you have put up together as the analysis, if you're in that stage yet.
Yeah, that's a good question. So far, my research is like euthanize the embryos at day of hatch. So we don't really know the feed intake. However, in theory, the feed intake might be increased due to the more energy needed from the higher development of organs. They will need more energy to maintain or to make a function, or for their further phase growing trait. So it might be increased. However, currently we don't have the evidence to suggest that. And currently we are working on the post-hatch chicken. So we will over-inject the phytogenics, and we will hatch out and see the overall growth performance and as well as the feed intake.
Will that be something in the future that you guys will be analyzing there, or will that be like the continuation of that research, or what are you thinking after this?
I think that's the definitely we need a small trial to prove the in ovo supplementation or in ovo feeding is working, and especially for the final body weight or the growth performance. So we will have a small trial for that first, and if the result is good, then we'll perform the larger trial.
Okay, interesting. And then, of course, for our audience, please subscribe to our channel. If you haven't done that, click on the little bell that you see there on your screen to receive our notifications. So, Dr. Yu, as we continue talking about this research, you mentioned, of course, muscular growth, and then moving to the other organs, and then, you know, where you are there in that research, how can you be sure that development of those organs are enhanced? And tell us a little bit about the benefits of what you could think will improve the industry overall.
Yeah, so for the muscular part, we focus on the myofiber hyperplasia and hypertrophy. So we inject the phytogenics in different days. For the hyperplasia, we inject in the day 10, since that's the peak, the plateau stage of the myofiber hyperplasia. And another thing is the hypertrophy. So for hypertrophy, we use embryo day 18 to inject the phytogenics. And we quantify the myofiber hyperplasia and hypertrophy by measuring the muscle weight, muscular histology, like myofiber size, myofiber number, and biomarker of myogenesis. So we quantify each stage of the myogenesis gene expression, such as MyoD or the MIF5 or MIF6. And for the intestine, we focus on the intestinal functions and intestinal epithelium population, because the population is actually highly associated with the functions. So we measure the intestinal length, intestinal histology, such as villus high, cryptis, qualifications and intensive epithelium populations. And we measure the function of like intestinal epithelial stem cells proliferation, differentiation, intestinal barrier function, and absorption functions with 3D enteroid culture system, like I mentioned previously, and as well as the biomarker for the above functions and population.
Great. No, this is very interesting topics that you're covering. And I'm pretty sure the audience is very eager to continue to learn more. But first, before we go into that, what's next for you on all this type of work? What is your next step in career or related to this research or this research and then the career?
Yeah, so currently I am looking for a faculty job, academic faculty job in Taiwan. So... yeah, I plan to doing the research and teaching and service as well.
Great, no, perfect, and that's very interesting because I know our overall the audience and everybody is eager to know what will be next, and we ask because we know that just to be on the lookout on that. So very interesting. We're coming here to the end of the podcast, but before we leave, I want to ask you. If somebody from our audience would like to learn more about embryonic supplementation and a little bit of your work and that type of work that has been done, what resources do you recommend somebody? It could be a book, a journal article, or somewhere they could look more, especially for that people in the poultry industry that want to learn more about it.
Yeah, the model that we will use is first developed by the group by Dr. Nash, and is published in 2019. Yeah, I think that paper is definitely need to read before jumping to the enteroids model. And that part is for the intestinal development. And for my... for the other organs, such as the muscle or the combination or the phytogenetics approach, I'm going to publish the work and it was submitted. So I hope it's coming up soon and can be used for people to learn how to do in oval feeding.
No, I think that's great, and I'm pretty sure anybody from our audience wants to learn more or to get those papers, please let us know and be sure to ask Dr. Lee and you to let us know where that.
It's time for our famous three.
Deep in the jungle, nature holds the secrets to healthier, happier chickens. Science is unlocking those secrets with Optient, the revolutionary lighting innovation for poultry farming. By mimicking nature, Optient Gradient Lighting creates a unique floor-level lighting gradient that improves feed conversion by up to 4 points, slashes energy use by 70%, and keeps flocks calm and stress-free. That means better animal welfare and a more efficient farm. Want to learn more? Optient Gradient Lighting is now available exclusively through your local Valco dealership or email optient@val-co.com today.
Okay, so we talk about where to find this information. Let me ask you differently. If somebody, what do you recommend somebody that is starting to work in the poultry industry or something outside, what do you recommend somebody to improve their career as a resource so they could be successful professionals? I know you did your PhD, doing a fellowship, postdoctoral grade, looking for a faculty position. What do you recommend somebody to be a successful professional? Not just in the academic world, just overall in the industry. Do you have a specific book or resources that you think about that?
So I'm neither working in the industry nor not yet to consider as a successful scientist. But in my opinion, keep learning and integrate knowledge into strategies, development and problem solving will help people to be considered as successful. And for the resource for the poultry industry, I highly recommend to join the Poultry Science Association because they have like a lot of posting or news to keep you updated.
And let's just go back a little bit and thank you for that recommendation. I think that's great. Problem solving is something that that is very critical for any job, industry, academic, overall science. But one step back, you recommended some papers from Dr. Nash and others and yours. By joining Poultry Science, would people be able to access this type of papers? Or what would be the benefits of overall joining the Poultry Science from a perspective as a young professional?
I think so, because there should be the open access articles and open access journals. So they should be able to get them.
Perfect, perfect. So this is great recommendations, and we really appreciate. We're coming to the end of the time that we have for the podcast today. This is Dr. Lian Yu today here from the Academia Sinica in Taiwan. Thank you very much for your time, and we appreciate all this great information that you have shared with us. So with that, for our audience, this concludes another episode of the Feed Science Podcast presented by Wisenetics. Thank you for joining us today. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is very valuable for us so we can continue to improve. Until next time, this is Carlos Campabadal from the Feed Science Podcast signing off. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.